My co-hosts Robert Siegel and Melissa Block have been reporting all week from southwestern China. We're going to take a step back now with both of them to hear more about what they're finding and what we may expect in the coming days. So good to talk to both of you.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. Good to talk with you.
Now, Robert, I want to begin with you. The piece we just heard shows that there's some tension between the Chinese government and the Chinese people. Are you getting that sense almost everywhere you travel?
Yes, I think several of us here are starting to hear it more and more, and the tension is also with foreign reporters like us. That is, when we show up somewhere, it's really to be expected that if somebody complains or criticizes, someone else will say, watch what you're saying. You don't want to speak that way to the foreign media. They tend to mistrust us. They tend to think that we don't describe China truthfully and that we will bring shame upon the country or present it as if they are shaming their own country. And yet, despite that attitude, you hear people saying we should have more water here. We should have better supplies than that. So there's a tension.
There's a different vein of that tension, if I can jump in here, Michelle, that I picked up on today, which is we were in a village where a middle school had collapsed. I had visited that school on Monday. People there were very critical of local officials. They said they're corrupt. They took bribes. This school was shoddily constructed. But they had nothing but praise for the central Chinese government. And I think that's a real difference that you see there, that local officials come under much more criticism than the central Chinese government that people that I've encountered, at least, tend to be very proud of.
In your stories, we've heard about cases where equipment or rescue workers arrived hours or in some cases days after the earthquake struck. What's your impression of the rescue effort this far and the question of as to how timely it actually has been?
You know, it's interesting. I was thinking about this on Tuesday, the day after the earthquake, and we were driving north and west out of the city, and I was thinking, this looks just like it looked after Katrina when I was heading down to the Gulf Coast. The roads were open, and I was thinking, where are the convoys? It was the same thing on Tuesday. I saw nothing headed north when we were heading north to get to these villages. You certainly see it now, and we heard about it in Robert's report. You see a lot of equipment heading up, heavy machinery, excavators, bulldozers. You see helicopters flying overhead all the time now going to these areas. But I have to say, that first day, I was stunned by how little was moving towards these affected areas.
I think one of the questions facing China and facing Sichuan for the coming week, at least, if not more than that, is the numbers. All the numbers of people here are colossally large. Every time we talk about a town, a village, a city, the numbers are enormous by any other standard. But there now are hundreds of thousands, millions of people who are living under makeshift shelters with a sheet of plastic thrown over the trees and entire families camped out underneath. People can't live like that for months. I'm not sure they can live like that for weeks. And so far, while there have been troops going overland to the most inaccessible regions, and I think they've now reached just about every place that was hit, and while there have been has been a first wave of supplies that have reached everyone, there is an enormous number of people who are homeless right now, and I don't see tents going out to people, tents that you could live in for a while. You certainly don't see trailers or anything like that.
You know, your reporting has been just heart-wrenching, and I don't imagine that you've had a chance to look at the inbox, but there's been an incredible response from our listeners who have been moved by your stories and are very concerned about both of you, in fact, our entire team that's working in the region right now. How are you holding up through all this? You're reporting on other people that are searching for loved ones, but what are you doing to tend to your own needs?
I mean, we're fine.
Yeah.
We are fine. Chengdu, the provincial capital where we're staying, is pretty much fine. And when the earthquake happened on Monday and you looked around and you realized the city was still, as far as we could tell, intact, we sort of thought, well, maybe it wasn't that bad. Until you started hearing reports about what was going on 20, 30, 40, 50 miles away from here. We're in fine shape.
We've met a lot of people who've had it pretty hard in the past week.
Extremely hard. And those are the stories that are compelling. And, you know, we were talking about distrust of Western media, but I think it's important to say that both Robert and I have met plenty of people who've been very gracious, happy to talk with us. You know, we went to a village today where they had lost children. There was an altar in a room just off of where we were talking in honor of one of the middle school students who had been crushed. And next thing I knew, I mean, these are people who are living out in the open. Nobody's inside. And a woman comes up, and she has made us glasses of tea.
Well, thanks to both of you for your incredible reporting there, and thanks also to our entire team in Chengdu, Andrea Hsu, Art Silverman, Brendan Banaszak, Chris Turpin, Stacey Abbott.
And a very extraordinary fellow named Xiaoyu Xie, or Xie Xiaoyu, who is both of Chengdu and also of Northampton, Massachusetts.
And an NPR listener.
And an NPR listener who has been of just incredible importance to us all week.
Heard we were coming to Chengdu and has been helping us out immeasurably.
There are volunteers. There are public radio volunteers even in Chengdu.
Even in Chengdu. Be safe.
You're welcome, Michelle.
Thank you, Michelle.
And you can see photos and read more from Sichuan Province at our blog. That's at npr.org/ China Diary.